Bonjour et bienvenue au podcast Miné. C'est ici que vous allez découvrir les acteurs de l'industrie minière, mais aussi les enjeux et les défis auxquels ils font face quotidiennement. Ce qu'on va découvrir à travers les épisodes, ce sont des femmes et des hommes qui sont passionnés par leur industrie. Je serai votre hôte, Manon Rouillé, présidente de Rouillé, une agence de communication marketing dédiée à l'industrie.
Bon, bien, mon invité aujourd'hui au podcast minier, c'est Rosé Visquera de O3 Mining. Bonjour, Rosé.
Merci beaucoup.
Là, le podcast, les gens, vous allez découvrir mon anglais parce qu'on va le faire un peu anglais, un peu français, mais pas du tout espagnol parce que là, moi, je ne parle pas espagnol, Rosé.
C'est correct. En français et en anglais, c'est bien.
Donc, O3 Mining, CEO of O3 Mining, how did you end up from Peru to be working in a Quebec project? Isn't that a great question?
Oui, je pense que c'est une bonne question. Je suis né au Pérou. Mon grand-parent a commencé l'industrie minière en 1953, 1953. Il a commencé avec une compagnie qui s'appelle Buenaventura. Quand elle était 32 ans, 32 years old, et la compagnie commençait avec une mine d'argent, de levain plus petite, narrow vein mine. et de ce moment, elle a continué à un moment que Buenaventura aujourd'hui cotise à la bourse de New York avec une valorisation de $2 billion, $2 billion de dollars. Quand j'étais un enfant, elle me montrait toutes les tables différents minéraux. Elle me dit, qu'est-ce que c'est? Je dis, oh, c'est la pyrite, c'est la galena, en quelque chose. Et je commençais à comme on dit en français, à fall in love, à aimer la géologie. Et en 2013, le groupe Cisco m'a invité à travailler avec elle et de faire l'exploration à la Sud-Amérique pour le groupe Cisco. Et j'ai décidé que ça, c'est le moment que j'espérais d'aller à commencer à faire mon own chemin, non? Ça, c'est la raison parce que j'ai arrivé au Canada et dès le moment que j'ai décidé de venir au Canada, j'ai dit, j'espère de faire la première Péruvienne qui commence une mine au Canada. I wanted to be the first Peruvian to build a mine in Canada. And I'll continue in English because otherwise this is going to take like way too long if I continue in French. But I decided to learn French because I thought at the moment that we built O3 that the minimum of respect that I could do was to learn the language where I was going to operate. So past 2 years I've been learning French and as you can see I can mumble it.
No.
But it takes
great.
A lot of time to say what I could say very fast in English or in Spanish. So
she was telling me you're learning French and I was like, wow, that's a commitment.
Yeah, it's commitment. It's a lot of discipline. But more important for me is respect. I mean, being raised in a Latin American country, seeing many people coming from Canada and from the United States to take care of projects in Peru, to build mines, was something that I always said, well, one day I will be the one building a mine there. And one thing that really caught my attention since I was a kid, you could tell that there was more respect from Canadians to learn language, to learn Spanish, than Americans wanting to learn Spanish. And that was another part of the history why I wanted to learn French. And in all this sort of route on finding purpose, when I said, I want to be the first Peruvian to build a mine in Canada, and we did the spin-out of Cisco and started O3 with the Marban project, that was the first thing I thought I had to do, which was learn French. So I hope you could understand the beginning of the conversation when we were talking in French. But yeah,
perfect.
Here we are.
And you keep saying, like, I want to have my mind. Are you close to it, do you think?
I think it's going to be a long way. I do think that Marban will be a mine. Marban Alliance will be a mine. I don't know exactly how that will be. I don't know if we will end up building it ourselves or if we will be able to incorporate the alliance with other groups that already have infrastructure and where we can all work together and optimize the infrastructure in the area. And that is something that I don't control. But I think Marban will be a mine. In one shape or form, Marban will be a mine. And more important for me is to contribute to this circular economy where, you know, some resources are going to be depleted, another are going to be found. And at the end, it has to do a lot with the manpower as well. I mean, the wealth of Val-d'Or, the wealth of the break, the wealth of the city of Val-d'Or, of Malartic, of Dubuisson, of all this area, will depend on replenishing gold. We have seen these cycles, and we cannot forget that there was a time where mining was not there, and you know the area was suffering. So you know, contributing to that to me is a very important. It's something that's my passion. It's a very important thing to do.
We keep saying that O3 is the third generation of Osisko. So how does that work? I mean, does that being part of this third generation? I was watching your video on the on O3 website. So and I'm like, oh wow, okay, yeah, third generation. Does that have a positive impact on the project?
It does. Well, you know, learning from the past, it's always important. I do believe that things repeat all the time, as in nature. You know, you do have autumn and you have spring and you have, you know, winter and you have summer, and that repeats. And the same thing repeats in the economy. And, you know, cycles of inflation, cycles of deflation, cycles of wealth creation. And the same thing, if we don't look at that, we don't learn anything from the past. So there were great things that Osisko has done, probably way more than bad things. But there were things that were not done properly, and or not properly, but could have been done better at the time. Like you cannot tell what is better. No, it's easy to look at the past and say that could have been done better. Yeah. But we have the privilege of learning from that and learning from other companies as well. I mean, we have to learn from the mining industry. I mean, if we know that. Moving this to the exploration side of things. If we know now that, you know, certain style of deposits needs X, Y, Z kind of work, then you will do that. For example, volcanic massive sulfides will be easy to identify if you do geophysics and a specific style of geophysics, which will be magnetics, and you have to fly. You need to do a proper amount of work to identify those. And then you do induced polarization, and then immediately you can identify them, and then you drill them. If you don't study what other people has done it, you're going to start from zero, and then more money will be spent in that process. So to your question, I think we are in a very privileged situation in how much we have been learning from the past and what can be applied to the future. And at the same time, we are a new generation as well. I mean, the difference between me and our founders, it's already one generation, which is very interesting. And it's interesting in the sense that we were also part of the second version of Osisko. So when I moved to Canada, to your question before, I started doing exploration only in Latin America. And that was in 2011.
For Canadian companies.
Yeah, so I was working for a company called Oban in Peru. In Colombia, in Mexico, in Nicaragua, and in Honduras. And we actually had some success in Colombia. We had a beautiful drill holes. We were more than one. And on the back of that, we took the company public. I was 32 years old then. And we took the company public on the 23rd of December. On the 18th of January, we had 60 guerrilleros coming from the ELN and kidnap six of our people. So for 8 months and a half, the only thing we were doing was negotiating hostages. Like, I have never imagined in my worst dream that just when I was about to build a dream, everything was destroyed in seconds. And in fact, if it was not because of that, and that just shows that out of, you know, bad things, good things happen, you know, after the dark comes the bright sides, and, you know, so things repeats, you know, even that, you know, you go through the dark and then you go into the light, and that as long as you know that, you'll keep driving it. And on the back of that, once we recovered all our guys, we started working on, okay, what is next? And the first thing we said was, well, maybe we should just focus in Canada. And at that moment, together with our team, we identified this break called the Urban Berry Break. And with our credit cards, one afternoon we staked everything. It was 40,000 hectares that we staked in one night. And Windfall was in the middle of that. And that was called Eagle Hill. And then together with John, who was the chairman, we decided that we wanted to buy other companies that had cash as well, and we did a merger of four companies. And that was the beginning of Osisko number two. Mm-hmm. So, you know, out of the difficulties, Osisko number two was born, and today Windfall is one of the most important discoveries in the world, I would say. And from that, O3 was born as one of the assets that we acquired during that time. And I had the opportunity to now be the person that leads that. And I'm very proud, first of all, of the group of professionals that works with us. Because I think that, you know, we keep talking about here in Canada about, you know, natural resources and the rule of law and how good we are as a country. And yes, all of that is true. But we tend to forget that one of the most important things we have in Canada is the people. Mm. And the quality of the professionals in Canada, it's extraordinary.
How is the O3 team different from other teams?
I think it's working as a team. I think that's what makes O3 different. We believe in the value of family, and we want everyone to feel like O3 is a family and that they are part of this dream. You know, we could have the best players, but if we don't play as a team, you know, you have seen what happens to the hockey teams that has great stars and they cannot win the tournaments because they are not a team. So I think what differentiates O3 from other groups is that we are a team. You know, we're committed to what we want to do, and we believe in the objective of becoming one intermediate mining company that wants to do things right.
What are your challenges right now?
Oof, plenty. We have challenges on, you know, we want to keep finding more ore. We have challenges on, you know, the permitting process. On, you know, you want to start drilling an area, and then you have to deal with four different ministries on how to do that. And then, you know, we want to work towards building the mine. And of course, you have, you know, different groups that has interest here, and you have to deal with all of them. But at the end, in all this process, there are challenges. And that's what they are. I mean, they're just things that we have to continue to work in order to untangle what is tangled and to fight with perception. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing we have, and not as O3, as an industry, is perception. And there has been a battle between mining companies and, in a sense, anti-mining companies. And, you know, as of right now, they are winning the game. They have the rhetoric behind them. It's not helping us.
Well, we talk about perception, but also O3 is the project is close to cities. It's in Abitibi. How do you guys work with the community and the development of the economic development?
Well, we try to tackle all the different areas. And I think the most important thing for us is to at least be open. You know, if I were a citizen there, if I were one of the groups that is sitting there or one of the person that has a house, I just want you to tell me what you're planning to do. So with truth, you can build trust. And that's all we're trying to do right now, is to build trust. And, you know, one thing we are is very open. And we have these little groups that we do once every other month where we said, listen, here is what we're doing. You come here and we'll tell you what are our thoughts right now. And I said right now because these things evolve. You know, I mean, the engineering may tell us, you know what, this area of the ground is not where you can build your infrastructure, so you have to look for another place. So there are a lot of things that we don't know. And that's the unfortunate part of this industry, because you don't have all the answers that you would like to give to everyone, saying, like, this is exactly how it's going to be. Some things we don't know, and we need to keep doing the job. But at least what we can do is to tell them, here's where we are. And the only thing to fight perception is with reality. So we just have to do that.
Yeah. Transparency. On a good note, you guys are nominated for a prize, a sustainable development prize. I'm looking at Geneviève because I'm not quite sure the name of the prize is. Because right now the podcast is recorded during Explore in Montreal, and we have a gala tonight, and I'm also nominated, but
amazing.
Mais O3 sont nominés pour entreprise de développement durable de l'année. So, what brought you there? I mean, how do you do things differently? And we still don't know if you're one.
No,
we'll know, and when people listen to this, we'll know.
this is the second time we have been nominated. So I hope this time we have different luck. I think there's a couple of things that we have been doing differently. The first one is the very open communication we have been having. I think the good reception that we have had with the different groups that are part of the Alliance, and that's why we called Marvin Alliance. And not less important, we were the first group to accomplish Ecologo in the field, which is a proposal being made by the AMQ. So we were the first one without even asking too much. I mean, you want us to do something different, we are there. Like, we want to do things different. We want to be committed. We want to show all where we can show respect and that we can move forward, we will do it. And that's what we did with that. So maybe the reason why we have been nominated has to do with that. We will see if we were right or wrong, because otherwise, if not, we'll go again on the third time. Maybe the third time will be the time.
Until we win.
And we don't do things to win prizes, by the way. I think this is just a consequence of doing the good job, and we will continue to do what we think is right. Independently, if there is a prize or not, I think that's irrelevant at the end.
Ben, Rosé, merci pour l'entrevue, mais surtout, bonne chance pour le prix de ce soir. Fait que quand on va écouter le podcast, on va savoir si vous avez gagné ou pas, puis sinon, ce sera l'année prochaine.
Non, merci à vous. La prochaine fois, je vais donner tout le podcast en français.
Ben oui!
Aujourd'hui, il va faire like, trois heures de conversation si on continue en français. Donc, en anglais, on a réduit la quantité de temps.
Le prochain podcast, moi, je fais les questions en espagnol, puis toi, tu réponds en français.
Ah, parfait.
It's a deal.
C'est un deal.
Ben, merci pour l'entrevue.
Merci à vous.